Over the last several weeks, we've been talking about building a better local church. We began by reminding ourselves that the local church is important, and that we read about churches in the New Testament that God approved of, and we read about churches in the New Testament that God disapproved of. And we want to be the church, or the kind of church, that God calls His own, not one that He's threatening to remove a candlestick or no longer claims as His own. And it's important that the local church do its work properly, because the local church is the only organization through which God works and operates. We talked about building a better local church by building better relationships with each other, understanding what our relationship is, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are members of one another, we are fellow soldiers, fellow heirs, we are fellow workers in the Lord's kingdom, we're fellow soldiers in the Lord's army. And all of that should help bind us together and develop an attitude of love and concern for one another. And last week we talked about building a better local church by striving to be scripturally organized, recognizing the importance of elders in the Lord's plan, and young men striving to meet those qualifications so that they can serve in that capacity someday. And tonight we want to continue talking about building a better local church by talking about building a better local church by each member learning to do their part in the body of Christ. By each member learning to do their part. There we go. By each member doing its share. You know, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to see a local church where not just a few members are doing their part in terms of living godly lives and working and spreading the gospel and working in terms of edifying the local church, but that each and every member was doing everything that they could for the cause of the Lord. And if each member was doing their part, the local church would be stronger and the Lord's kingdom would increase. And so let's talk about each member doing their part in our study here tonight. As we begin to talk about each member doing their part, I think it begins by understanding that everybody has a part. But everybody understanding that they have something that they need to be providing for the edifying of the body of Christ and for the good of the local church. Just as every part of the human body has a function, so each part of the spiritual body supplies something as well. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we mentioned this in talking about our relationship to one another briefly, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12 and really going on through verse 27 of that chapter, the Apostle Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, particularly in that context. But the principles that we learn, I think, still apply today. That is, though he specifically was talking about the varying kinds of spiritual gifts that individuals should possess and regulations concerning those gifts, there are certainly principles that we learn from what the Apostle Paul had to say. And his point in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is that just like the physical body has differing parts that provide different functions, so it is also true in the spiritual body. And particularly what I want you to notice in this particular text is what he had to say in verse 22. When he said that those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. One translation says those members of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable. That is, they are important parts of the body. You know, if we were to think about our human body as an illustration of that point, there are probably parts of our body that we think about, parts that we use frequently, maybe our hands and our feet. And there are other parts, perhaps even of our internal organs, we might think about frequently. But you know, there are other parts that we don't think about all that much. We don't think about how they function. We don't think about the job they perform. But you know, those parts of the body that we don't think about often are very important parts. They perform valuable functions, and they're necessary for the body sometimes to live. Sometimes they're necessary for the body to function at its full capacity. And the Apostle Paul seems to be making the point here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that in the spiritual body, you have parts that obviously individuals think of. You might think about the job that elders or teachers or preachers may play in the good of the body. But you know, there are members of the body that might be described as weaker, but they're still necessary. they're still important. They're still an indispensable part of the body. And really what the Apostle Paul, I think, is trying to point out to the brethren here at Corinth is that every member there was important and every member provided something. No, they may not have all had the gift of prophecy. They may not all have been able to speak in tongues, but every single member there was important and every single member could provide something for the good of the church at Corinth. And I said, we can make that application today, can we not? Even though we're not in the time of spiritual gifts. Not everybody at Northside is going to be cut out to be a teacher. Not everybody at Northside, not every man at Northside may have the ability to preach when called upon. But just because everybody's not a preacher or a teacher or a song leader doesn't mean that every member's not important and that everybody can't provide something for the good of the local church and for the building up of the body here. You know, the body can survive without each part working to its full potential, but it can never be everything that it can be, just like the physical body. Look at Ephesians 4 and verse 16. This is the passage that was just read for us that really forms the basis of our lesson tonight when he talks about the whole body joining it together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Do you see the emphasis in Ephesians 4 and verse 16 on the word every? When every joint and every part is working properly, it causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And so it begins by us understanding that you provide something and can provide something for the good of the church of which you are a member. And everybody has talent. You know, one of the parables that you and I are probably the most familiar with is Matthew chapter 25. And we're not going to draw all the lessons that we can draw from Matthew 25 in our study tonight. Really what I want you to appreciate in that study tonight, or from that passage tonight, is the fact that there was no such thing as a no-talent man. You had a five-talent man, and you had a two-talent man, and you had a one-talent man. And that represents the fact, again, we don't all have the same talents, and we don't all have the same number of talents. But you might realize that in that story, there was no such thing as a no-talent man. And there's no such thing as a no-talent person when it comes to the service that they can provide for the good of the local body. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. And so every part begins by us understanding that we have a part and we can provide something. And we shouldn't minimize what it is that we can provide. But I think we can build a better local church, not only by doing its share, by understanding we have a part, but by the local church putting forth effort to equip members to do what they can do. In fact, I'm confident that that's one of the major points of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, is to teach us that part of the job of leaders in the church, talking about elders and preachers and teachers, is to help to equip others so that they can provide what they can for the good of the local body. If you have your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11, here it is in the New King James Version. And he talks about, if we go back to verse 11, that he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, or some pastor teachers, shepherds and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, when we look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, you've probably heard this passage before used to show that there are three works of the local church. In fact, it wasn't uncommon years ago, particularly during the days of the institutional battle, to hear preachers point out that there were three works the church was to be involved in: the work of evangelism, the work of edification, and the work of benevolence. And Ephesians 4 and verse 12 was often used to show those three works. Now, I would state this. I believe there are three works the church needs to be involved in: evangelism, edification, and benevolence. However, the more I've studied Ephesians 4 and verse 12, the more I become convinced that that's not really what the Apostle Paul is talking about here in this particular passage. Instead, what he's pointing out is that the reason God gave the apostles and the prophets for the revealing of the word, and we don't have apostles and prophets today, but we have their word preserved for us. And one reason he gave the church to have preaching, and he gave the church to have teaching, and he gave elders in the local church, is to help equip others to do what they can do for the good of the body. Let's look at some other translations. He gave some to be apostles, some pastors, some evangelists, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. In the Christian Standard Bible, he gave some to give all of these gifts for the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ. Or look at it in the New International Version, when he gave all of these positions and gifts to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. See, when we look at the passage here and we compare all of the differing translations that are given, this seems to be the point that the Apostle Paul is driving at. Christ gave certain gifts. He gave apostles, he gave prophets, he gave evangelists or preachers, he gave elders, he gave teachers. These are positions and gifts that were given in the New Testament church. Now, as we said, some of those we have today, evangelists and pastors and teachers. We don't have apostles and prophets, but they still work through the word that they revealed to us. He gave these so that, or in order to develop spiritual maturity, so that each member might minister or serve, so that the local church might be built up. And that really seems to be the point of emphasis in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. That part of the job, or the part of the reason these particular gifts were given, was not so that elders can do the work of individuals for them. The elders can't do that, can they? They can't do people's work for them. Teachers are not there to do individuals' work for them. Part of the job of preachers is not to do an individual's work for them, but it is to help equip them and teach them so that they can do what they need to be doing, so that the local church might be built up. And that seems to be the point that the Apostle Paul is trying to emphasize, at least part of the point, in Ephesians 4 and verse 11 and 12. Now that really brings up the question. How can we equip others? That is, what can the local church do to help equip others to do whatever it is they can do in the work of service so that they can contribute to the building up of the body of Christ? Well, let me say, I think there are a number of things that the local church can do, that elders can do, and teachers and preachers need to be doing to help equip others to use their talent in service to the Lord. Well, let me say, first of all, I believe they need to give them a good spiritual foundation. The most important thing that can be done to help equip others to provide their part is teach them the gospel. Teach them the gospel. If individuals are taught the gospel and they're living by the gospel, then they'll be of value to the body of Christ. They'll be doing good for the local church. And one of the very best things we can do is to be sure that there's the proper teaching and the proper foundation is laid for them to build their faith upon. Edification comes through the Word. That's the means by which we are built up. That's the means by which we're going to grow stronger. In Acts 20 and verse 32, he commended the Ephesian elders to the Word of His grace. That is, to commend you to God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up, to give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. What can the local church do? It needs to be sure that they get a good foundation upon which to build their faith and help them to build on that foundation of faith by adding knowledge and adding love and adding courage or moral excellence and the other qualities that are mentioned in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 5 to verse 11. Everybody has a part. But we need to help equip and train others to do what they can do in the body of Christ. And that begins by giving a good spiritual foundation, making sure they have proper teaching. There's something else I believe the local church can do in order to help equip others, and that is give them opportunities to develop their talent. See, what we're interested in is everybody doing everything they can do. Well, what can be done to be sure that that's accomplished? Well, opportunities need to be provided for individuals to develop and to use their talent. I think about the book of Acts in chapter 11, in verses 25 and verse 26. It is the story of Barnabas leaving Antioch and going and getting Saul of Tarsus and bringing him back to the church at Antioch, where he was going to be a very valuable part of that work. And then later from there, they would go on their missionary journeys and spread the gospel. But see, one of the things Barnabas did for Saul of Tarsus is he gave him an opportunity to develop his talents. He gave him an opportunity to teach. They provided an opportunity for him to be part and a very important part of the church at Antioch. And opportunities need to be given to develop talents. You know, I knew a congregation some years ago that made the decision that relative to certain aspects of worship, they weren't going to allow anybody under the age of 30 to take a part in that. They couldn't take a leading part in the leading of prayer on Sundays. And they couldn't take a leading part in waiting on the Lord's table. And they couldn't take a leading part in all the, and the problem with that is eventually they're going to be over 30. And they're going to be the ones that are going to be then taking a leading. And they need to be properly equipped. Now, let me add this, and I think this is important. When one is starting out, judgment, good judgment needs to prevail on what they can do and when they need to develop their talent. But the opportunities need to be provided for them in order to develop them. They need to be provided by properly training. They need to be provided by giving opportunities to use those talents. And there are going to be sometimes some growing pains along the way. There are going to be some mistakes that are made. And after they've been teaching and preaching and leading singing for 20 and 25 years and 30 years, they'll still be making mistakes sometimes, because we all do. We're fallible. And we need to be encouraging, though, those that are younger. Young ladies need to be encouraged to develop their talents in teaching the gospel and giving opportunities as they grow and develop, whether it's in assisting somebody else in teaching. But all of those eventually are going to be those that will be the future leaders in the body of Christ. And they need to be equipped to provide their part, and they need to be encouraged in providing their part. So what can the local church do? Give a good spiritual foundation. Give opportunities to develop talent, like we said was taking place in Acts 11 and again in Acts chapter 16. And nothing, by the way, can take away from just getting the opportunity to use those talents. You know, all the teaching and all the reading about how to lead singing or how to do this or how, all that can't replace with just actually get out and doing it and developing talent. That's the best way to develop talent. And young men, young women, and older men and older men, women need to be encouraged in doing that. So what, we give them a good spiritual foundation. Provide some opportunities for them to use that talent. Encourage them. Simply encourage them. We need more Barnabases, who's the son of encouragement. What can we do to help equip others? Encourage them. In other words, when you see somebody that is trying to do their part in the body of Christ, encourage them in that. Encourage them in the developing of their talent. Let them know that they're an encouragement to you. Barnabas encouraged the church in Antioch that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. You know, it really doesn't take a lot to encourage another person. It may just simply take patting them on the shoulder and saying, you know, we appreciate what you're doing. Keep up the good work. And words of encouragement can mean a great deal to individuals when they're trying to do their part and trying to develop their talent to use in service to the Lord. Encourage them. It doesn't take much, as we said, to encourage. Don't be overly critical. I'm not talking about somebody that's done something wrong in terms of sinful. I'm not talking about overlooking sin. But have you ever seen somebody that they thought it was their job to nitpick and show every mistake that was made? I've seen individuals that you have a young man that for the first time waits on the table, and he's nervous, and he, you know, he shifts his feet a little bit, and he goes the wrong direction, and there's always that one person that can't wait till services are over to run and to point out the mistakes that they made. And oftentimes in a non-constructive way. And what those overly critical individuals tend to do is they discourage. And sometimes I'm confident, by the way, their heart's in the right place, but the means they go about it, instead of encouraging, instead of helping, actually helps to discourage individuals. There is constructive criticism that can be given in a loving, in a caring way, and then there's that overly critical, nitpicky attitude that discourages individuals. When we see individuals that are developing their talents, and they read the scripture for the first time, and they stumble over a word, they probably don't need you to go point that out to their attention. Probably what they need is somebody just to encourage. Don't be overly critical, individual. As we said, Jesus describes that individual in Matthew chapter 7 who's always looking for some mistake to correct. And by the way, though this is not always true, have you ever noticed that sometimes the most critical individuals are the individuals who do little themselves? The individuals that can be the most critical are oftentimes those who don't try themselves, but they think that it's their job to point out the mistakes of other people. How can we equip others? Provide some opportunities for them to develop time. Give them a good spiritual foundation. Encourage them, and don't be overly critical as they make mistakes in trying to develop their talents. How can each part do their share? Understand everybody has a part. Understand that we need to equip members to do their part and help train them to do what they can do and encourage them in that. And I think each member can do their share by eliminating excuses and hindrances to not doing their part. Now, when you have individuals that have talent but don't use it, chances are they're going to give some excuse along the line as to why they don't do anything or as to why they do very little for the good of the local church. And if we can eliminate a lot of excuses and hindrances, then individuals can be more productive in their service to the Lord. Let me say one attitude we need to eliminate sometimes is the fear of failure. I think sometimes the fear of failure keeps individuals from doing their part. Now, we all have talents. Some of us have one kind of talent and others have a different kind of talent. Some have more, some of us have less. But sometimes there are people that have talent that is untapped talent. It's not been used. And one reason they haven't used their talent is because they're afraid they're going to fail if they try. It's an attitude that really was used by Moses when Moses was called upon to lead the people of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. I guess if this was a Bible class and I was to ask you to name some of the greatest leaders of the Bible, can you think of a leader that was any better leader than Moses? I mean, Moses is an amazing character. How he dealt with those hard-headed rebels in the wilderness for 40 years is amazing. I mean, you have to feel for Moses at times as he had to deal with the people. But you know, when Moses was called upon to lead in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, the attitude that Moses had was, you must have gotten the wrong number because surely I can't handle that task. Look in the book of Exodus. As God had called him from the burning, Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? I can't handle that task. I can't possibly do that." And of course, that's not the last excuse that Moses is going to use here in the book of Exodus. He's going to try a long list of excuses. And finally, God said, "Moses, just get to it. Just do the work that I've assigned for you to do." We need to understand young men and young ladies and older men, middle-aged men, whatever your category you may fall in, don't allow the fear of failure to keep you from using your talent. We're all going to make mistakes. Just keep trying. And it may be sometimes that you try to do something. I tell you, it may be that you've got a young man that tries to lead singing. He may figure out that's not his talent. That's fine. But I tell you what we need to do. We need to see what our talent is and we need to use it. And we need to understand, again, that we're going to make mistakes. No matter what age, no matter who you are, mistakes are okay. And understand also, and I think this is particularly important when we're trying to train others to do their part, that when you make a mistake, you're among friends who are trying to encourage you and help you in your service to the Lord. And just keep trying. You know, I think one of the things that some of us learn as we have taught or preached or led singing over a period of time is not that we don't make mistakes anymore, but we've gotten so used to it we don't let it bother us anymore. And again, I'm not talking about errors. I'm not talking about teaching things that are wrong. I'm talking about sometimes the right words just don't come out. Sometimes we stumble over things. Sometimes we mispronounce things. Sometimes we pitch songs wrong. But after a while, you learn that that's not the end of the world. Keep trying. Don't let the fear of failure keep you from doing whatever it is you need to be doing in service to the Lord. I tell you something else that sometimes keeps us from doing it is comparing ourselves to other people. That is, we begin to think, well, I can't do that as good as brother so-and-so can do it. Or I can't do that like somebody else can do it. I don't have the kind of talent they have. You know, comparing ourselves to others isn't a wise thing to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 tells us that comparing ourselves among ourselves or those that do that are not wise. It's not wise to do so. And I have to understand that God simply expects me to do what I can, not as much as what others do, or not to the degree that others do. In Matthew chapter 25, that two-talent man didn't have to worry about what the five-talent man was doing. It's really whether or not he was doing what he could. And you need to understand that God doesn't necessarily expect you to lead singing like somebody that's been... God doesn't necessarily ask you demand that you lead singing if you're a song leader as good as R.J. Stevens might have been able to. But I tell you what he asks, you just do the very best you can do. And that's all God demands. And if that's the talent you have, use it to the best that you can use it. Don't try to compare yourself to other people. But let me also look at that from another standpoint. And that is when I'm evaluating what I can do, I shouldn't also compare myself to those that do nothing. That is, we can look at it one of two ways. Sometimes we compare ourselves to others and say, I can't do that like what she can. I can't do it like what he can, and therefore I'm not going to do it. And all God expects me is to do my best. But I tell you what we can also do sometimes, we can find somebody that does nothing. And we sort of just comfort ourselves by saying, you know what, I do more than they do. I do more than Sister So-and-so does. But again, it's not a question of what am I doing in comparison to others. It's a question of whether or not I'm doing what I using the talent that I have in service to the Lord. Let's eliminate the fear of failure and comparing ourselves to other people and just do what we can do. The failure to recognize the value of what we provide sometimes can keep others from doing what they should be doing. You know, some depreciate the value of what they can do. That is, when they think about what good are they to the local church? And they think, well, you know what, I just can't do anything. There's nothing I can... And they sort of depreciate the value of what they can provide. And when they depreciate that value, chances are they'll not do everything that they can. Now, we can't all do the same thing. But we need to understand that the Dorcases are as important as the Peters and the Pauls to the good of the body of Christ. We've been using the illustration of those things like leading singing or teaching and preaching. But you know what? It may be that by virtue of talent or virtue of health, that may not be what you provide right now. Maybe what you're providing is encouragement. You know, there are places I have been where I've known people that never taught a Bible class and, that they weren't song leaders. But I tell you what they could provide was encouragement to other people by the example, by praying. They might be the person that on Monday they could get out and they could write a letter to the person that missed services and let them know that they were missed. I tell you what, if you're not a Peter and a Paul, but you're a Dorcas, don't underestimate the value of that. That's important. That's an important part of making the local church everything that it can be. I tell you, behind every Peter and Paul, there needs to be that person that encourages them. Behind every elder, there needs to be those that are praying for them and encouraging them in their work. And that's just as important and just as needed in the local church as sometimes those talents that we think of as being more visible. Remember, every part is indispensable. If that's what you provide, then don't depreciate that. Just use it to the very best of your ability in helping others. And I think sometimes a failure to try sometimes keeps people from finding out what talents they have. I can't do it attitude. Sometimes we can do more than we think. Sometimes we can do more than we think. Now sometimes we can't do certain things. I remember years ago my granddad telling me a story about a sitting in a training class, and a young man was told by the elders, he said, get up and lead singing. And the fellow said, I can't do that. I can't do it. And he said, we don't say can't. We just get up and do it. And he stayed after him for a while. The young man got up and led singing. And the elder came around to him afterwards and grabbed his shoulder. And he said, son, you was right all along. And sometimes we just don't have certain talents. And sometimes we can't do certain things. But you know, sometimes we use an I can't when we really can't. And we need to be sure that we don't let that I can't do it attitude keep us from using the talent we have. Sometimes we can do more than we think. And I use the example of Moses here in Exodus chapter 4 and in verse 10. Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10. Moses said, "Ho, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since have you spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." I can't do that. I can't possibly be the leader of this people. Now, God made provisions for Moses by giving him his brother Aaron as a spokesman. But I want to tell you, I believe even separate apart from what Aaron provided, Moses drastically underestimated his ability. Do you realize we have the book of Deuteronomy, which is a series of four speeches that Moses delivered to the people in the plains of Moab? Now, I don't know how eloquent Moses would have waxed, but I tell you what he had to say was of great value. But Moses, when he started off, said, you know what, I can't do that. I can't speak to these people. I'm too slow of tongue. I'm not eloquent. And we need to be careful that I'm not allowing the I can't do attitude to keep me from doing what I should be doing.